financial report for the month of January.
Motion.
Second.
Passed. Approve the payment of bills from the January 22nd, January 27th, and February 10th abstracts.
Motion.
Second.
Okay, that's passed. Kate, you're up.
I've been recording readings of the wireless radio frequencies along our village sidewalks. Some areas are now unsafe due to smart meters radiating 24/7 at head height on poles here and there. On Prospect Street, the meters for dwellings 1 through 21 all face the wall. If these residents don't opt out of smart meters, it will be hazardous to walk there. I am very worried about how my sleep and my heart might be impacted if the 4 analog meters next door that face my home are changed to radiating smart meters. What then? Over 50 years ago, in 1971, the US government issued a report, Program for Control of Electromagnetic Pollution of the Environment. In it, experts appointed by the Office of Telecommunications Policy stated that the EMF radiation from radar, TV, communications, industry, medical use, and so on, which have no counterpart in man's evolutionary background, had permeated all areas of life. It warned, unless adequate monitoring and control based on a fundamental understanding of biological effects are instituted, man may enter an era of energy pollution comparable to the chemical pollution of today. Misjudging the effects of long-term low-level exposure could become a critical problem for public health, especially if genetic effects are involved. Yes, we now have critical public health problems and genetic effects are involved. This 1971 program was not implemented. Brief timeline. 1940 to 1960, the US military conducted studies on exposures to radar radiation, documenting biological effects and behavioral impacts. 1953 to 1978, our scientists documented the gamut of health impacts from Russia's harassment of our Moscow embassy people with low-level microwave radiation. 1968, the Radiation Control for Health and Safety Act became law. It requires the government to set standards for the radiation emitted by electronic products. By this law, the FDA must plan, conduct, coordinate, and support research toward these standards. Instead, it grants wireless devices a pass. 1971, the U.S. Office of Naval Medical Research reported more than 100 biological effects from low-frequency non-thermal exposures. 1982, the Environmental Protection Agency's Office of Radiation Programs was working toward federal guidance to limit the public's exposure to wireless radiation, but its last real research on radiation was in 1984, 2 years later. The 1996 Federal Telecom Act placed the FCC in charge, which then ruled that radiation doesn't heat tissues enough to cause ionizing damage is allowed. Low-level non-ionizing damage is ignored. That same year, the EPA stopped measuring EMFs in cities, and its EMF research was defunded. 1999, George Carlo, the head of the nearly $30 million wireless technology research project on cell phone safety, reported functional genetic damage and a doubled risk of brain tumors. The wireless industry's move to negate the research and destroy Carlo. 2012, the U.S. Government Accountability Office the FCC to update its exposure guidelines. In 2019, after thousands of comments and expert testimonies, the FCC kept its outdated 1996 minutes. 2021, the U.S. Court of Appeals District of Columbia Circuit found the FCC's 2019 decision arbitrary and capricious, but it gave no date by which the FCC must respond, so the public is in limbo. Please, will you understand how serious this is? That each of us opt out of the smart meters and otherwise downsize our use of wireless devices, wiring wherever we can. And we will be having three local events at the Claverack Library on the 28th in the afternoon, and March 5th, Wednesday, at the Hillsdale Rojan Library in the afternoon, and then on Sunday the 9th at the Copate Grange. That'll be in the late afternoon, 5:30, I think. I'll see that someone posts that at our bulletin board.
Thank you. Mr.
Fitzsimmons? Nothing new to report, just ongoing projects. The planning board is still evaluating the 27 Summit Street Mill. The planning board's engineer issued his comment letter, and the applicant's engineers are due to respond to that at the next meeting, and then probably the next month will be public hearing.
Okay.
They're struggling with... They're trying to fix the parking that they need.
Mm-hmm. Jessica.
Village elections will be held on Tuesday, March 18th. Petitions are due by tomorrow, February 11th, and acceptance letters are due by February 14th. New payroll deductions were submitted to payroll. The annual water quality report for 2024 is complete and ready to submit to the state. The full report will be included in the April water billing. Began budget preparations. Completed Neisler's overtime earnings report request. Completed Neisler's service credit purchase request. Scheduled and completed all Mid-Hudson conversions to fiber for the internet now. Compiled Village Hall bills from Neisler and Harrington's for the energy audit and assisted with the energy audit. We had the Climate Smart Grant Funds Balance meeting with Deborah and Tom. Proofread the memorandum of agreement for repayment for licensing expenses for Alan. Signed Alan up for a sewer review class. Working on the fire company budget expense report. We obtained quotes for the well tank replacement at the DPW garage. You requested to compile bank reserve figures. That was completed. Began working with Pitney Bowes for the postage machine update and new lease. Reimbursement paperwork was filled out and submitted for the sidewalk project. Set up a bank account for the mill's escrow. Been working with Suzette Boy from Columbia County Real Property for the Columbia County assessment role. Lots of record retention was worked on again this month. Assisted with the CEO transition. W-2s were received from payroll company. We sent them all out. And the office will be closed Monday, February 17th for President's Day.
Thanks. Been a busy month.
Absolutely.
And this is just a follow-up question about, I want to put up, like we did last year, the deadlines for the election. Do you recall where we get them from? Is that from the...
It's Board of Elections, from the, I have...
They'll have the dates for the March.
Yeah, I have a lot of it, too, so you just do? Tell me how okay. The dates exactly you're looking for.
Okay, and then is the application for an absentee ballot, is that... do we have them in the office, or can we get them online?
They are in the office. We could probably scan it and put it online.
Okay, I'll do that if you send me a digital copy.
The sidewalk grant, I don't know if you saw the email, why we're just kind of, they want pictures.
Right.
Is that possible for you to get them to me tomorrow?
Because
I would really like to get it submitted tomorrow, or we're not going to get paid till like next June.
Wow, and they're all covered in ice.
And it was like a last minute, I had no clue, or else we would have been planning, you know, they hadn't asked for that the first time around.
And do they want just the last round of pictures, or they want the whole thing?
They didn't specify in that email, just they want pictures.
Okay, here's a problem. I am heading out in the morning to go to the city for doctor appointments. I will not be gone all day tomorrow. the places, if somebody could get a picture, would be like right on Maple and then down on Church, across from the ballpark.
I'll see if I can run out tomorrow.
Prospect.
I'll ask David if he can.
And Prospect Street, yeah.
Maybe David can take some, text him to me.
Out in front of the Village Hall.
Yeah, that one I can definitely, that one I can handle.
Yeah, okay. And I'll check what time my train is and see if I can do anything before I go.
If not, like I said, I can,
Okay.
I'll try or ask David to do, take some for me.
Okay, great.
If he's out for garbage.
Great.
Building inspector, we have two new building inspectors and we do have a report. They had two CO search requests, nine rental registries, one building permit, and 21 tenancy COs. They had a busy month too.
They did. It's great having this report. Can I, follow-up question about that, do they have regular hours?
Yes.
And can you email those to me and I'll put them up? And then, the other question is, are they getting the email that goes to philmontceo@gmail.com?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Library report. You gonna read that?
She's not here.
No.
Okay. DPW came out and took care of multiple ice dams on the roof, some damage. DPW took care of some brush and a couple of trees. Services and events, Fiber Fridays began January 17th, painting with yarn the 25th. Storytime, yoga, and art classes have all resumed. She has $5,555 of special legislative grant and $1,500 from the town again. They have their museum passes up and running again. Blackstone Audio is now up and running. The summer reading program will return to the library this summer. The theme will be Color Our World. Patty West has been hired as a part-time clerk. There were 802 people in the library, 2205 for circulation, 128 fridge visits, program attendance was 108, people attending outside meetings 50, and new library cards 7. History Book Club starts February 19th. Art show, Neighbors to Painters with Victoria Pearl and Nat Drake opens February 8th. The movie Wicked will be shown in the library during the winter break. CCLA's community read of writing Sweetgrass and accompanying programs will be announced soon, and Michelle Hinchy's staff will be in the office February 18th, 2 to 5.
Nice. I think we might as well keep going.
Julie has two reports from the community center for the last month. There was a computer glitch. Center was checked in the month of December. The center was decorated for the holiday season. Scouts were using the center three times a month. Amelia McIsaac completed a shadow puppets program, and she's in the process of working with Soren Dietzel and Godfrey Opio from Uganda to sponsor a music workshop. And the latest report, everything in the building is fine. It's checked regularly. There was one family rental this month. Scouts continue meeting three times a month. Music workshop was relocated because the final performance space requirements were not up to speed there. CPR course will be held on March 8th from 9:30 to 2:30. The course is free to village residents and village employees. Sign up ASC by calling or texting Julie. If you sign up, please commit to attending. The class is limited to 10 students. Any individual wishing to take the class who is not a resident or employee will be asked to contribute $70, reimbursable to the village. The New York Safe boating class will be held this spring. The course is required for anybody who operates a motorized vessel in the waters of New York State. Battery operated motors are included. Course will be March 29th and March 30th from 9 to 1 p.m. Both days are required. There's a written exam. The course will be taught by myself and Julie. We're both safe boating instructors who are certified to teach the class. And there are already individuals ready to sign up as soon as it goes on the state website. It is now on the state website. So if anybody wants to sign up for that course, you can do that. And she wants to thank the Philmont Rod and Gun Club for co-sponsoring, because the club provides all the refreshments and projection and computer equipment for the class.
Thanks.
Can I ask a follow-up question? I seem to have lots of follow-up questions. So I think it would be good to have the community center activities on the website, you know, like for the events that are ongoing, and then for like the CPR class and the boating safety course. Julie was trying to do that, and she did a great job for a little while, but I think it would be better if somebody younger who's more familiar with how to use a WordPress site would help. I've reached out to Jess a couple times, but there hasn't, she's busier, there hasn't been a follow-up. So I guess I'm asking for some help to get a little better communication of their activities up on the website. And I'd love it to be, you know, I'm trying to get the committees. Like I created a login for the community center, just like I've created a login for the Climate Smart community, and everybody's sort of responsible for uploading their events. Is that that's the ideal sustainable approach. So that's something I'd like a little help with, if possible.
Fern?
Just to add on to with the code enforcement and building inspectors, they also met with Eli and our folks, so to continue to, you know, get a good hands on what we got, share all the information of vehicles and things that we have. So so that's going to be ongoing. We had 5 calls for service, 47 property checks, 6 UTTs, 10 VAT warnings, and issued 21 parking tickets.
For you guys, Vern, they just did your conversion today.
Okay.
So you still have your old modem in there as well.
Okay.
I don't know if you want to reach out to the county if there's anything that we can, if they need to do it, or if we can just unplug and replug with a new one.
Okay.
So it is ready, it's going. We have, but you have both right now.
Okay. Perfect.
Eventually we have to give them back the other one.
Okay.
Sorry.
I can show you.
Hey, good evening, guys. Very quick report this month. The last month, January. So the BOA committee meeting was not held in January. The request for proposals, the RFP, we didn't have a meeting in January.
No.
Right, and when we're looking, it was like, yeah, okay, cool. The request for proposal, RFP, for the BOA zoning analysis was published on January the 21st. It's available on the village website, homepage. We should be receiving proposals in February. Number 3, the Weissenlipka architects were paid the final payment by the village of Philmont for the next level concept designs for the community center in Canal Streets. Number 4 on the list is PB Inc. paid a total of $9,816.48 to Weissenlipka architects as our final payment, PB Inc. payment, representing the 10% local match required under the BOA grant. And, you know, we're like $300 shy of making that whole 20,000 match. So we really have done well on that. And I'm pleased to help the village on that. Number 5, the 6-month status report was submitted on time to the DOS and the BOA grant. Last week in January, we made the deadline for that. Number 6, under the BOA, PB Inc. attended the Philmont Funding Group meeting on the 15th, chaired by the mayor. And then Rogers is now back in the office. And I'm hoping that now that he's back, we're going to receive the task 9 draft and that he will be scheduling a meeting with the WAC. It was promised for last week, haven't seen it. So this week, tomorrow, will be a first in the morning email out to him. Number 2 on the LWRP grant update list is the 6-month status report. And we do a quarterly workforce report for the LWRP grant, and that was submitted on time within the first weekend, January. And then the historic district, exactly the same as January. We haven't received any phone calls yet for any further assistance, even though there are previous people who called last year who are now back in contact, and it looks like they're going to be able to do that. So we have to have an assistant. I can't really add them to the 10.
Okay.
And that's it.
Thanks.
And I'm back healthy.
Are you going to go, or anybody going to go see Michelle Hinchy when she comes to Belmont?
Say that again.
Are you or is anyone going to go to see Michelle Hinchy when she comes to Philmont?
Tell me a little bit about it. I didn't know about it.
Well, all I know is that she is coming to Philmont Library
on
February 18th. And we can talk to her, I guess, about whatever we want to do, which would be like, yeah, give us money, right? Because we want to advance the projects.
Give us money is always a good ask.
That won't be my question, but however, so February the 18th, and she's coming between when?
2 and 5.
2 to 5.
I believe it is.
Okay, yeah.
Didn't I read that today?
Yeah.
I think what I'll do for the BOA, but I'll discuss it in the BOA meeting, obviously this month, the BOA will produce a briefing sheet, and we'll get her a briefing sheet. I won't be asking for money.
Yeah, to Tuesday.
A briefing sheet, just telling her what's going on.
Yeah.
You wouldn't ask her for money?
Not at this point, no.
Okay.
She'll know that we need money from the briefing sheet, but we're not asking for money right now.
But Doug, I'll also go and meet with her and talk to her about what kind of.
That's good.
Funds there are that might be helpful to our village.
Excellent. Thank you.
Who organized that?
Did I?
No, who did?
I don't know.
Yeah,
you
it was
did?
Just on the library website, so I have a feeling that she's just doing a tour.
Contacting?
She's doing a tour.
Yeah, she's doing a tour of all kinds of places, so she must have just asked the library if she could use the space.
She does mobile meetings, and she just randomly just goes to different areas, so
right.
She doesn't specifically go to one spot, so she's sharing the wealth and opens the door to anybody who wants to.
So this time it's convenient for us.
2 to 5.
Yeah, we normally do our stuff differently, but maybe that may not be that.
She's a senator. She does it the way she wants to do it.
Of course. I'm not questioning that for a second. We normally dovetail right into that.
Yeah.
But that's not normally how we do stuff.
Yeah, I can probably go too.
All right.
Okay, great. Thanks for bringing that up, Doug.
Yeah.
Tom?
As was already mentioned, Jess and Deborah and I met to be sure we got the funding in order, because there were some things that were just mislabeled, but now we're good. Everything's accounted for, so we're going to pay all the consultants, although I'm still not seeing it on the list as a separate.
I mentioned it to him. I'm not sure if he got all of them. I'll look through again.
Okay. All right. Just so we'll be able to keep going. Now that we've located everything. We still have to get you the preferred location for the plaques, the bronze.
Correct.
So that's right at the top of the list for our meeting on Wednesday to discuss that. So I hope we'll get that to you soon. The decarbonization study of this building, here with all of the consultants, and Doug helped out a lot. Right.
Is what he said when he picked up the stuff to us, so I don't know if that affects if he's gonna give something beforehand or not.
Yeah, he should still be able to remove the intro, making some assumptions about the route. And we'll go from there, and then we did discover that a new route, I forgot the date, you have to bring it with me, but there was a new route put in here.
Yes.
Early 2000s, I think. I had it, so if you want to go, right, I just forgot to bring that folder with me.
It was, Skip was mayor. Pollock was gone.
The mid-2000s, probably?
Yeah.
I think it was like 2004 or 5.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, it's been a number of years, but we'll have them see what their assessment comes up about that. Because the biggest bang for your buck is being able to insulate the roof. So, we've got to figure that out. So we'll see in his report what he comes up with. The EV charging station at the Cumberland Farms, that dialogue is still going. There, the firm that owns Cumberland Farms now is looking for a single vendor to make these purchases for EV charging stations across the country. They're supposed to have some idea who that will be in April. So we're hoping to hear back from them with that. Also, it's going to happen on Wednesday at this meeting, as Haley Balkanoff stated that the Climate Smart Community Actions List has been modified, and some of the protocols have changed, so we're going to get a presentation of that and to figure out what other items that we might take on, or how we might change some of the things we're doing now, but we'll find out about that in the Wednesday meeting. Also at that meeting, Katie Flamina will be presenting her work on the newsletter for the Clawrock Climate Smart Community newsletter, which is excellent. We've had difficulty keeping that going, so we're talking about having some kind of collaboration. Just for the newsletter. We may be some other things as well, but that it would be a joint newsletter for the two Climate Smart communities. And they've got, it's obvious they have a professional that's doing it. But I thought they hired someone, it looked so good, and they said, oh no, it's one of our volunteers puts that together. It's an excellent newsletter. I'm continuing this dialogue about the floodplain issues. So it was recommended to reach out to the Soil and Water Conservation District, which I did. Had very good conversation. She knew exactly what I was talking about, and she's talking to her colleagues, and will get back to me. And that as the first step of looking to see what other municipalities in the county have done similar work, and to see where we might go from there. The greener home legislation, which I brought up the last time, it makes sense. Again, that's the sustainability measures, or measures to reduce energy in your home, or it's only residential, so it's only at home, that would not get counted as increasing your assessment. You would get an exemption. It makes sense to first present to the county, because it's the county taxes and the school taxes, which are considerably higher than the village taxes. So we've got a member who is working with the school board to see if they will adopt it. And I'm working through the county environmental council. They got kicked off the agenda this last time because there was a lot of other things going on. But it should go on the agenda again. And I think getting those two in place, then it makes sense for the Village of Beaumont to consider it. So it get related to being on the County Environmental Council, the climate action plan. It's a for the Capital District. It's the Capital District region. They're coming out with a climate action plan like what we did just for the village, but for the entire region. And they have specifically asked the municipalities in Columbia County to make comments on their draft proposal for this climate action plan. So we'll be doing that at the meeting on Wednesday to try and divvy that up, approve who can take which section. But it'll be important to have Philmont in there as a reviewer of this document. And I think that's it.
Thank you. Robin?
Yeah. Our last committee meeting was held on January 16th, and we went over the implementation matrix. The implementation matrix is the things that say these are what we want to do, and then that will have who should do it and time frames. We had great participation from the entire committee and moved forward another step. LaBerge thought they would have the full draft to us in 2 weeks after that, but then they said that was a hope, not a plan. So the new promise is to have the full draft, including the maps, to us by this Thursday, 4 weeks from our last meeting. I'm keeping my fingers crossed. It may still be possible to present you with a draft for the public hearing at this at our next board meeting, and I've continued to stress that deadline to them. Unfortunately, as you know, I've been hoping that we would be complete already because it happens after the March meeting. I will not be here to present it.
Oh, you gotta stay for it.
If it happens after March, I feel confident that the committee members can help to do that, and I will be available to confer with if necessary. LaBerge has been handling the grant submissions themselves, so they can continue to do that to ensure their village is reimbursed. They have to date only billed for 65% of the project, which is in track with where we are. I would think we're actually closer than 65, but they want to bill for 65. So.
Thanks. Put your suitcases away. We met with the fire company this month with discussion of creating a fire district. Now, that doesn't mean that they're joining with Melville. Doesn't mean anything at this point. They just want to investigate to see if it's worthwhile to the village and the fire company to form a district. Next month we'll have a resolution basically giving them the okay to investigate it. I met with Ed Harkin a couple times about the generator up to the lift station, and we're getting a plan together for to dig the pipe for the fire pumps in the spring. The boy's been working hard with the snow. They've been fixing meters, and they had a couple water breaks that they have taken care of. That's basically about it. Doug?
Okay. Like Tom said, I worked with the Climate Smart Committee on the carbon assessment. That was pretty much an all-day event. Went to the meeting of the Grants and Funding Committee. Went to the workshop meeting. Checked properties, didn't find any big issues. The heat was off at the community center, but it was just somebody turned the switch off on the furnace. And then I've been here quite frequently for checking on daily operations and in touch with Lou Lamont numerous times about things he can help with. That's it.
Thanks. Deborah?
Similarly, I went to the workshop meeting, the fire company meeting, the grants and funding meeting, the planning board meeting, the comp plan meeting, and I attended that meeting, as Tom said, with Jess. That was really helpful for the grant fund balance for the Climate Smart, and I was involved in some of the conversations regarding the EV charger with Tom and Katie Flamia. think that's it. I've had communications regarding getting the sidewalk money settled, and also communications that we need to renew our pro housing certification for this year. So I'll be communicating with our new CEOs to get that done. It's not too much work.
Thanks.
Yep.
You got a fire department report?
Yeah. Chief Beaumont submitted a report dated February 10th. There have been 17 calls for the month. I won't read all the calls that he delineated what they were. But for the year, there's been 13 fire calls and 10 EMS calls for a total of 23. There were two drills, one truck inspection, and one work detail.
This is the one I gave you separately, Brian, because it wasn't in your packet. Because
what is it?
So it might be that on the table stuff.
That seems like high. Is that high?
No.
No? Okay.
All right. Correspondence list is provided on the table, and hard copies are in the office. Motions and resolutions.
Motion to enforce the water turnoff law and take action against delinquent water users.
Motion.
Second.
Well, that one passed.
Motion to appoint Faith Logstone to the Village of Beaumont Volunteer Fire Department as a member.
Motion.
Second.
Motion to reappoint Robert McFarland as chairman of the Village of Philmont Planning Board for a 1-year term with a term to expire March 1st, 2026.
Motion.
Second.
Motion to reappoint Stephen Benson as the chairman of the Village of Philmont Zoning Board of Appeals for a 1-year term with a term to expire March 1st, 2026.
Motion.
Second.
Motion to reappoint Richard Kellhouse as a member of the Village of Philmont Planning Board with a term to expire March 1st, 2023.
Motion.
Or, sorry, 2030.
Motion.
Second.
Okay. Motion to reappoint Michael Puther as a member of the Village of Philmont Zoning Board of Appeals with a term to expire March 1st, 2030.
Motion. Second.
Motion to contract with Higher Information Group for the lease and maintenance agreement for a new Toshiba copier.
Motion.
Second.
Motion to hire Patricia West as a part-time, non-benefited library clerk for the Village of Philmont Library at the pay rate of $16.50 per hour.
Motion.
Second.
Motion to allow Mayor to sign the multi-module capital project agreement.
Motion.
Second.
And then we have resolution authorizing the implementation and funding in the first instance of the state multi-module program aid eligible costs of the capital project and appropriating funds therefore.
Motion.
Second.
Finished the new business.
I have none.
Motion for adjournment.
There's a hand.
Can I ask a question?
Quick.
What's the multi-modal capital project?
This is where we get our sidewalk money from.
Oh, thanks.
Motion to adjourn.
Motion.
Second.
We're good.
Good night, Philmont.